Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you through God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You and I, we are blessed to be a blessing. You're never too old to bless others with the word of hope in Christ, our dear Savior, especially to the household of faith, to those fellow believers. This is why we have the privilege of coming every single week, as the writer of Hebrews says, let us not forsake our assembling together, as is the habit of some, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day drawing near. Encourage, we put courage in the hearts of fellow believers by speaking the word of God, by blessing others with the fulfilled and the promises of the fulfilled word of God and the promises of God. So we are never too old to speak a blessing to brothers and sisters in Christ. We are never too old to serve, to put on that compassion, kindness, and meekness. This will take place in the lives of believers until the day we die. We might retire from our vocation, selling cars, being a teacher, whatever, but we'll never, ever retire. The Holy Spirit works his goodwill and pleasure and gives us this desire as we hear the proclamation of forgiveness to put on compassion and kindness, gentleness and meekness, to forgive one another just as Christ has forgiven us, to let peace rule in our hearts. This will continue to happen. And so we have in our text two elderly people, Simeon and Anna, seemingly there for this young couple and this young child to bless them and encourage them. And so we have Simeon talking about the consolation of Israel. He has been told by the Holy Spirit. In fact, three times in our text, it tells us that the Holy Spirit was present with Simeon. And as such, he has this magnificent nunc dimittis, which means dismissal. We say it after the Lord's Supper in our divine service. And in this dismissal, he says that he now can depart in peace. He can die. It's time. Okay, I'm ready. I have been promised by God Almighty that I would not die before I was able to see my salvation with mine own eyes. Makes you think of Job chapter 19. I shall see him with my own eyes, with my flesh. Likewise, we too, in the Lord's Supper, we truly receive Christ's true body and blood. We hear the words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. What does the pastor say after you receive the Lord's Supper? Peace. Or actually, it's after the institution. Peace be with you. And you say, and peace also be with you. Because God is at peace with us. Our eyes see thy salvation. We hear this wonderful blessing. We are blessed with every blessing in heaven, as Ephesians 1, chapter 1 says. We are blessed to be a blessing. And so, Simeon, moved by the Holy Spirit, speaking these amazing words, the nunc dimittis, he talks about the consolation of Israel, the Lord's chosen, the Lord's Christ, which is, Christ means the anointed one, the chosen one, the one who has been chosen to take our place under the cross, to take our place on that tree to suffer and die. But God is a God of comfort. I think this word is used particularly for Mary and Joseph. He says he is waiting, and the waiting for the consolation of Israel. Your God is here to comfort you every single Sunday. He is here to console. You've been there probably, right? How many of you haven't at some point in time put the cover over your face or closed the door behind you and shed tears like you've never shed before? Maybe you were young. Maybe you lost your child, or maybe you lost your job, or maybe your spouse is talking about leaving you. All kinds of effects because of our sin. We live in a sin-tainted world. And our God comforts us. We may not feel it at the moment. We may not be absolutely certain that God, as Psalm 68 says, that God bears us up. He comforts the downtrodden. He comforts the brokenhearted. He consoles Israel with the hope and now the fulfillment of the chosen one. This is the chosen one who will suffer and die in your stead. And so even in the moment of that pain and those tears, where you're hurting like you've never hurt before, you may not feel as though God is bearing you up, or even that he's comforting you, but most of us can look back, because most of us are a little older. Most of us can look back and say, God was there. In fact, Psalm 77, it's the psalm. There's two places in the scripture. Psalm 77 at the very end is the place where it talks about the footprints. That there were two sets of footprints, and that's kind of the way it is. We don't see or feel God's presence necessarily, but we know the word of God is very clear. He does comfort us. He is present. He helps us. He bears us up. He is a God of consolation. He is a God of comfort. And when we're younger and we don't feel that, we get through that trial and we know that it is our God who loves us, who forgives us of all of our sins, and this gives us strength so that 10 years later, when another terrible, painful, difficult time takes place, we're a little bit stronger. We've been through it. We've gone through that trial. We've suffered. And we know through experience, through the promise of God's word, we know that God's promise is fulfilled. He does bear us up. And then we can help others in bearing their burdens and blessing them with the word of God, just like Simeon and Anna bless not only the people around here, but Simeon. He actually blesses Mary and Joseph and the baby. I remember, I want to just remind you that this bearing up, this comforting and consolation is always focused and centered on word and sacrament ministry. This is how God works his great comfort and consolation. And again, you've probably been there where you've read a scripture verse and that scripture verse has given you great comfort. I remember Rock Prather in my first congregation, a young man with three little kids. I think I've mentioned him before. He lived about a year after he found out he had cancer. And in that year, every time I went to see him, you could tell he had grown in his faith. The word of God was all he hungered for, hungering for and thirsting for righteousness. He was comforted and consoled by the word of God, which always takes us to the cross, to Jesus Christ and him crucified. And Rock Prather gradually became extremely confident that heaven was his home, that all of his sins were forgiven. I also remember a young teenager whose mom had found out she had cancer and was going to die. And I'll never forget, I still remember the verse, the word of God that came to this teenager in her devotions. Her mom and dad had done her well by training her to read the scriptures and have these devotions. And she shared with me, I still remember, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. It's a verse about Paul, who struggled mightily. He said, Paul said, I know that God will deliver me from every evil deed and will deliver me safely to my heavenly home. That was her comfort. She knew that her mom was delivered from every evil deed. She internalized this promise of God, this great blessing found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. She was absolutely blessed. Even in the midst of her tears, and she constantly came back to that verse. This is how the Holy Spirit comforts us through word and sacrament ministry. I want you to know that God has blessed you in a very personal way. Maybe somebody here is having trouble believing that God could forgive them of maybe a public and willful sin. Maybe you've had a divorce and your divorce was not of the Christian kind, and in the sense that you just said, I don't love you anymore, and you think God can't forgive you. That is not true. God has declared all of our sins forgiven. It doesn't matter what you have done. Each and every one of us can say we are the chief of sinners. We have actually committed all kinds of sins. And it is very easy for us to disbelieve, to be tempted by our flesh and Satan to not believe this comforting and consoling truth that Christ took upon himself our sin and paid for it. And the blessing for us each and every Sunday is that God personally, individually speaks his word of grace to you, especially when we take the Lord's Supper, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Now mine eyes have seen thy salvation. God is at peace. Exclamation mark. God is at peace with me. God is at peace with you solely on account of Jesus Christ. And this is why we now, especially as older folks, I know some of you are pretty young, but there's more than a few of us here that are getting up in age, and you probably feel it more than you look it. But we, as those who are getting up in age, are like Simeon and Anna. There's all kinds of opportunity. We never retire from this privilege and this responsibility to bless the younger people who are in the faith, brothers and sisters in Christ, our children, our grandchildren, to speak to them the blessings that God loves them and forgives them of all of their sins. I'd like to read to you from Titus chapter 2, beginning with verse 2. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers. It doesn't say until the age of 62. It's forever. Not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. And so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, older men, urge, I put that in, it kind of ties back to verse 2. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching, men, older men in particular, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. This is both a privilege and a responsibility. I think Simeon and Anna, old as they were placed there by God, obviously. And I think they were there to do just as Simeon did, to bless Mary and Joseph. Mary had not been in the temple for 40 days because she was seen as unclean. And this was a privilege that Anna and Simeon had, to bless them, to put courage into their hearts, to teach them what the Word of God has to say. May God help us to realize, especially those of us who are getting a little bit older, we always have a sense of purpose. We always have the privilege. Are you praying for somebody in particular? I'm talking to the old men and women here. Are you praying for somebody in particular? Do so. Look around you. Is there somebody young? Pray for them. Give and ask God to give you an opportunity and a chance to bless them. Maybe it's just simply with your service, your compassion, your gentleness, watching their kids. Oh, that's a glorious and blessed thing. Or simply by giving them a blessing of God's holy word. When I, as a pastor, when any pastor speaks the Aaronic blessing, it is not, and it's not a question, it's not maybe, it's absolute. God has blessed you. His face shines upon you all because of Christ. This is absolute. We leave, and we are blessed because of what Jesus Christ has done. May we understand better that we are blessed to be a blessing, especially older women and older men. What a privilege, what a responsibility. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.